Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. Kia ora koutou. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I'm your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And today's session, I want to focus on super, national super. It is in the news at the moment because of the increase. And as we know, it's 3%. And I've also explained, I think, a couple of weeks ago that when the new payment comes in, you get it because it's paid to you for the fortnight gone, you won't receive all of it until your next super payment is due. And when that comes in, it will be split. So this week will be at the old rate, and the following week will be at the new rate. So you get 50% of the increase coming through in your next super payment, and then the payment after that, you'll get the full amount. So just so that you see odd figures, they don't make sense to you, that's the story, that's how it works. Now, last week we had with us Susan St. John and her option for the future to make the government's books balance and to be able to cope with the size of the population requiring super and the cost of that. And her proposal is that we set up a new tax regime which will actually allow everyone who's entitled to super to claim it, but if their income is marching onwards beyond $50,000 a year, they would be able to quietly work out that their tax, as it's increasing on a different scale to everybody else's, that because they're taking super, it just becomes a no-brainer. It's easier not to claim it, cheaper not to claim it. And this is a fairer system, a much clearer way of dealing with things than the system of means testing, which operates in a lot of countries, particularly Australia. It's one that we're most familiar with. That can be quite vicious, and it can hit people hard, and it means that it restricts people's choices greatly. The people who probably struggle the most are the people who get national super and a little bit more, but not much more, and often have a lot of expenses in living. They may be caring for grandchildren, they may be grandparenting and parenting those children full time, something they never envisaged would happen in their older age and something they never planned for. So there are just so many situations that people find themselves in, and that's why I personally believe, looking at the research that's out there, that the fairest option is to, in fact, have a tax regime for those people who are comfortably off and who don't need national super. The other alternative, of course, is to put up the age, and as Susan and I discussed that last week, that's just not very suitable for a lot of people. Their bodies are worn out, so they're struggling to make 65 and to survive those last 5 years of often unemployment, being on a supported benefit, which is much lower than their actual costs of living. It makes it particularly stressful and not a pleasant way to have to cling on to so very little for 5 years preceding getting national super. So to extend the age would be a real inequity, I think. In addition, of course, there are people who don't even get anywhere near 65 and who don't ever collect super, even though their taxes are put aside for that. So, you know, it's in terms of fairness, it's hard to get the best solution. But we certainly need to improve on what we're doing, and we certainly need to free up some money to be able to support the children growing up in New Zealand who are at a great disadvantage. One in four is going hungry. One in four has food security issues. And around 30% of our children are living below the poverty line. That's according to research done internationally, comparing us with other countries and so on. So it's not really a question about whether parents are doing a good job and whether they can be blamed for not providing a school lunch. It's a question of how people are managing the current living costs as against what income they can produce and what situation they find themselves in. So we have working parents who need to go to food banks. We have working parents who, even with working for families tax credits, don't have enough money to put food on the table because the cost of housing is so extensively high. And it's an ongoing issue. So either it's coping with high mortgages or it's coping with high rents, but whatever it is, it's eating much more than 50% of the income coming into the household. And so that does make life exceedingly difficult. So I just stress the fact that there are actual facts and figures, and they're very strong and they're very damning in many respects, describing how our children are growing up in New Zealand. So it's worthwhile really taking note of this, because I know a lot of people think, oh, well, we managed, we had it tough, but we did this and we did that and we did the other. I know lots of people think that some people are just lazy and they just can't be bothered doing X, Y, and Z, and they, if they just got off their chuffs, it would make a difference. But the world has changed, and I can remember days when it was easy to get a job, and if your job disappeared, you could still get another job the next week. And those days are gone. And I do hear people talking about their children or their grandchildren, how many jobs they've applied for. Some have applied for 150 jobs and they've been turned down on all of them, and they're just over it. And they're wondering how they can support them to keep going, how they can encourage them, because they know it's really tough. So I like to bring these things to the fore, because it's important to realise that, yes, we get National Super, and yes, we're working on keeping the ministers informed through various lobby groups for seniors who are wanting to make sure that it's understood what our needs are. And it's clearly it's not enough to cover some of the health and disability costs that certain seniors have. But we also need to look at the total picture. If we want a society where we've got young people employed and skilled and continuing to work and create income and enhance the economy, then we need to make sure that they're growing up with food on the table, that they're growing up having a decent lunch at school. It's not working at the moment, and we can't really see a really quality future for everyone if we have segments of society that are completely underprivileged or suffering the effects of poverty. I don't think anybody would argue against that, but it's the question is, how do you create the circumstances and the structures that will enhance society in a way that leads us away from this kind of environment that we're currently creating? That's a big question, and it's a question that we will come back to. We will interview people who are economists, we'll interview people who are doing research like Susan St. John, and we will give you a bigger picture and more information over the course of this year, because I think it's very important that people get that inside view from the people who are working at the coalface on these issues, and that it's delivered without political rhetoric, without being dressed up to be appealing to certain voters from certain parties. I think it's very important to get objective views as is possible. So you can weigh up, what's the pathway forward? What's the best solution here? And what are the things that are going to benefit everybody in the long run, rather than benefiting just a narrow group? Now, when I do my research, I look up to see what different groups are doing on the internet, what spokespeople are researching, what issues, and so on, to see how their policy is formed and how they're getting to grips with some of these issues that they may be educating others about. The Grey Power Federation has just updated its website, and I noticed that as well as being easy to find things, they have a section that lists information under topic headings, and so they cover things like National Super, health and disabilities, and the databases and research background to topics that would be of interest. And amongst the things that I looked up today, I saw that under National Super, they have the group CASPANS, which is KiwiSaver annuities and National Super Society Incorporated. So it's a society for the protection of all of these things. And it might be a mouthful, but under their headings, they have a number of research articles, a number of papers, and position policy statements that have come from various people who've done research, and they've evaluated a lot of these. So it's very interesting reading. So if anybody wants to delve into this, just go to the Grey Power Federation website, and it's just Grey Power Federation New Zealand, and you will find all sorts of things of great interest to you, and you'll be able to get updates on the latest on National Super. You'll be able to get updates on the different Grey Power branches, because there's over 60 different associations throughout the country. So in Auckland we have 8. So it's useful to be able to look up and see what's there and how. And if you want to find out about joining, it's easy. It's really simple. And you can join through the Federation website direct, and they will get back to you and direct you to your own association. And it's not a hard process. It's very simple. In fact, people have been very delighted at how easy it's become. Now, when we look at who's lobbying for seniors and who's looking at National Super and who's protecting interests in this area. People are sometimes unsure what age concern does, what grey power does. Sometimes they muddle the two organisations up. So if you want to find out more about either of them, I suggest you have a look at their websites. Age Concern has a joining fee, and it's quite similar to the Grey Power one. The Grey Power one varies depending on where you live in the country and what price your association is charging for membership. Whereas Age Concern has, I think, a national figure that they work on that's the same wherever you are. Grey Power is an organisation where people are joining an incorporated society, and people elect their president, secretary, treasurer and committee locally, and then all of those branches collectively help elect the federation president, secretary, treasurer and the board of the federation. So Auckland has one representative on that board. Each region has a representative. So in summarising this, I'll just say that there's a certain democratic element in all of this, but it's not so much a democratic element in terms of policies. Policies are based on evidence rather than on people's personal views. And the evidence has to be based on research and concrete facts, and it has to stack up well as the best option. So it doesn't put forward policies because they're nice to have or certain people want them. No, it doesn't work like that. It works on the basis of what's going to be effective, what can be implemented. Because sometimes you get very good ideas, but then when people cost them, implementing them, it becomes out of the question. It's just not affordable. So Grey Power would not put forward such a policy. It's important to understand that Age Concern advocates also, and it advocates particularly strongly in the area of elder abuse and how to reduce that happening, and in particular working on preventing people becoming socially isolated. Social isolation leads to loneliness, and it can lead to people becoming abused because they can be befriended by people who want to use them. Age Concern also looks at the needs that people have in the community to prevent going downhill in older age, and one of the fastest things that drives people downhill is having falls, because once you have a fall, it can be a fast trip to having to go into care. And so one of the most effective things that can be done is teaching people how to maintain a balance and how to keep up their use it or lose it focus. So they actually do exercise daily in a comfortable way, but in a way that strengthens them and prevents falls. So they run these programs in the community, they're low cost and they're easily accessible. There are other situations in which they're able to help people one-to-one through their home visitor service, where they befriend people in a positive way and make a difference in people's lives. Sometimes when people are looking for help with helping aged parents or neighbours in their street, they're not sure where to go. And I often say to people, look, Citizens Advice Bureau should be your number one spot, because Citizens Advice Bureau has a whole library of pamphlets, some of which are highly relevant to seniors and to living in retirement or older age, how to live well, how to make use of services in the community that would extend your capacity to live on national super, things like budgeting services and so on. And it's amazing, they also have a large document about advanced care planning to help people put in place the sort of care that they need in older age to get their wishes carried out. And to know that because that document exists, it can be lodged with their GP, a copy can be with their enduring power of attorney and with family members, and in these days of electronic communication, almost anybody who deals with the health of a person could have a copy of this advanced care plan, just so that A, they know that there is a care plan made, B, so they can actually be familiar with it and make sure that their practice as a health practitioner actually delivers what is needed and what the person really wants and values. Now, from time to time, I've done presentations on the program about the aged care planning document and the way in which it's used and so on. So I'm not going into that today, but I just wanted to raise it as something that if you were thinking about, then Citizens Advice Bureau, the CAB, which usually you find in your local library or in a community centre building locally, you will be able to obtain one of those aged care planning documents that has all the questions and sets it all out for you to make it so easy. And it's something that even if you've done it 5 years ago, you need to refresh now and again. Things change. New products and new services and new ways of thinking about certain health problems are happening all the time. So updating your document could be a task that you do this winter, something to put on your list. And now I've been recording and talking to audiences for about 10 years, I'm really feeling the need to put in place a stronger organisation that will lead this program on. Radio's not dead, it's very much alive, and it's going to be important to people as disasters strike, weather events and so on. We really need to encourage people to value radio, but at the same time, our programs become podcasts, and then they're available to listen to online 24/7. So you're not reliant on just the time that we broadcast on the radio. You can go onto Planet's website, planetaudio.org.nz/programs/senior focus, and you can find things that have been broadcast previously and sort out what you're interested in. Because we are catering for quite a wide range of people and topics, so all the time we are managing to bring in people who've got expertise, bring in broadcasters who are specialists in particular areas like health, and we're able to give you so much stuff at your fingertips that we've had to fossick and research and come to grips with. But we can deliver it in a way that makes it easy for you people to get a handle on the changes that are happening around you. Knowing that we have got this event of our 10th anniversary coming up, we are looking at running some projects through this year and doing more fundraising to be in a position to be able to have a really good celebration come the middle of November. One of our projects is to do intergenerational discussions, bringing seniors and youth together. We've had quite a few requests for this as people are really concerned about how siloised we've become and how age-fixated many activities are, so that that natural transfer of knowledge that comes between seniors rubbing shoulders with youth and vice versa, that's just not happening as much as it used to. And this concern is something that is driving this need to offer these opportunities for people. We're also working on a project for the Heritage Week time, and that will coincide with the International Day of the Older Person. So being as our studio's in Mount Albert, it presents a very good opportunity to get out and walk in our local suburb where we make the programs and make stronger connections with our own community. So that will be something to look out for with the production of the Heritage booklet that comes out. I think it's published around about August. So you'll be able to look at that and see options that that might suit you. And there will be an opportunity to visit part of the studio on that day. As well as these things, we are looking at forming a trust and being able to go out to businesses and corporates and attract sponsorship for the program. Up till this time, we've been able to be independent, and it's been seniors running radio for seniors and seniors providing the income. So this is becoming a lot more difficult now, because our expenses have gone up like everyone's, and also we need to be more active in the community. We need to have a higher profile so people know we're about and who we are and what we're about. And to do all that requires an income much greater than what we've had in the past. So we are on the lookout for ideas and for people to help. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us to support what we're doing, do contact us by Gmail. So seniorfocus, all one word, lowercase, 104.6fm at gmail.com. So I'll repeat that. Our Gmail is seniorfocus, all one word, lowercase, 104.6fm, F for Fred and M for Mary, at gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing from you. Just whatever advice and information and suggestions you can give us, we're all ear is, and we very much welcome your feedback. And it's time for me to finish now and think about what we're doing in the next month. And we've got a whole program mapped out already, but one of the highlights will be we've got Te Whangai Trust coming in next week, and they're telling us about the work they do with youth in terms of rehabilitation. Thank you for listening.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/seniorfocus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.